We have a youth retreat today. I have a lot of folks on that retreat. So Lord, this morning we pray your blessing on them, all those adults that are there now with them, Tom and Carrie. God, we again come to you in the name of Jesus on behalf of the Moore family. I just pray for your Holy Spirit to draw all of Randy and Gloria's children to you and their spouses and their grandchildren, that all of them would be touched by the big life of Jesus Christ, the Lord, through the life of Randy and his death. And Lord, we thank you for the hope, the confident expectation that you will complete what you have begun. We thank you for that hope. We live in hope, and especially, Lord, when we have hopelessness, especially, Lord, when we have lost and concerned that we would ever find anything worth having again, we live in hope. We live in hope, Lord, when we lose our loved ones to death. We thank you. We thank you that you're the God of all joy and hope. And we thank you that you have addressed death, that you have spoken into death, that you stared it down and died for us and loved us. And Lord God, you were raised from the dead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are ascended, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, giving us hope and joy now. Thank you, Lord. Especially, Lord, for such a time as this, for all these times. We thank you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm supposed to talk to you a little while about having conversations, about being a conversational Christian. I think that's what Randy was from beginning to end. He and I would pick up with conversations. They would terminate briefly, temporarily, and then we'd pick them back up the next time I saw him. I think some of us may have been told that when we became Christians, we should terminate all of our non-Christian friendships. I remember hearing that somewhere. Hopefully I've never preached it. There's no telling what I've preached. But hopefully not. That would not be on a tape somewhere. So that for many people, becoming a Christian has meant broken relationships with the world. I'm proud I don't have any. And superficial relationships in the church, because I have to look good. The superficial relationships really hurt us, kill us, all of this malaise of relationship either dying or superficially living doesn't nurture life. I have a bunch of friends and loved ones who love to fish. I don't. My dad, it was almost child abuse, dragging us into the mountains at shortly after midnight, leaving the house in Pueblo, Colorado, and getting into some mountain somewhere, and I can barely stagger out up the mountain for 5 hours and then start fishing at sun up. Yeah, that was fun. be literally carried away. I was transported away, not by angels, but by mosquitoes. My ears were as big as you can imagine. My mother was horrified. My dad just kept on doing it. got to be with my sons. He was practically killing us. Now, it was good. There was some good in there somewhere. But I can tell you this, we never fished in 2 inches of water. Even for those small fish we were fishing for, you were looking for pools. You never even fished in a foot of water. Nowadays, the people that in the family, they go to big water, deep water, like ocean deep water, because that's where the big fish are. Fish don't live in 2 inches of water. And Christians, I actually don't want to call you Christians, disciples cannot survive in 2 inches of water. Amen. That's what I'm calling superficial Christianity. You have 2 inches of water every time your home church meets. That will not only kill fish, it will kill people. I propose that we are disciples anyway. I don't like the word Christian. It only appears twice in the New Testament that Christians use it. By far the best way of describing us is that we're disciples of Christ, and so we're his apprentices, and we do what he does. And Jesus calls us to be ambassadors of friendship in the world and into deep church. Powerful family community. See, it's a community where you got a child crying on the way out the door and I have to slow down what I'm saying. That's church. That's church. You don't kill the kid. Or ban that kid from church. You know, he's just got to learn how to talk in church. And when to talk in church. Life's about conversations. G.K. Chesterton said the church is the place of meeting. Because we don't know how to do that. Not really. It's crucial to get this right because life is passages and relationships. And the passages are headed to Terminal D. Terminal D, that stands for death. Terminal D. That's where the pastors are going. Y'all are really quiet. That's what it looks like it's going to. But maybe the passage is going to completion. It's not going to Terminal D. But what will determine where you're going? Relationships. Because relationships is what makes the journey worth having, worth doing. Relationship. Just think about your life. You think about relationships from the get-go. Now, when I look over here, by the way, I got to say something about Bob Strider is going to have a pastoral visit. He was telling me about somebody he's got to shepherd today, though we've already had his funeral. I've never had that happen in church before. He's in ministry, but we had his funeral. Really? Bob, and let me, this fits, Bob's not headed to Terminal D. Because he's got relationships, especially got the one. But the one has changed all the other ones. And the ones he's after are in the church and a bunch out of the church. Because he's not going to Terminal D. See, if you're not going to Terminal D, you may still be in ministry after your funeral. Just like him. See, that's a big life. Relationships make the passage a blessing. And the destination becomes a completion. There's a difference between terminus and telos. The Greek word for The end is telos, but it doesn't mean terminal. It means when that which is complete happens. Perfect, mature. What I was always meant for, but sin messed up. That's what's happened. But the telos is a gift that we receive from Jesus. Jesus put it very simply. He said, to know me is to have eternal life. Wow. That's about as stout a sentence as you can write. God's life is what that's talking about. And when we know Jesus personally, know him, he knows us, we have moved from death to life. We're moving to completion. We're not losing time. At this time in my life, I am so aware of so many things that happened when I was in my 20s or my 30s, and I feel like I've lost it. I've lost time. It's really not true. I haven't lost it. In fact, I'm being inwardly renewed. We're being given wisdom. Death is not a destination, but a station, another station on the way to freedom. I think you can say that you can look at Randy Norman's face, you can look at Bob and Betty's faces and say they're being transformed from one degree of glory to another by the presence of Jesus. They're not going to terminal D because of the relationships. It's all started with Bob, with a guy across a backyard fence. When this guy, Bob basically was asking this guy, you're headed to terminal D and you're laughing. Why are you laughing? He was arrested by the joy of a disciple. He asked him, and the man tells him, and he becomes a believer. Jesus is about extravagant relationality. He came to reveal God as Father to people who worshiped idols, and he came to reveal us to each other as God's children. He was extravagantly relational, and he drove religious people nuts. What are you doing? Religion's about building barriers between people, not bridges. You've lost it. To this day, I wonder about us. He discipled people who had lost relationship with each other. For example, tax collectors and zealots. I mean, this is real red over here and real blue over here. Politically, they don't have anything to do with each other. Men and women, clean and unclean, honorable and shameful, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile. Extravagant relationality was hanging out with all of these people. We would say that Jesus was a people person. In fact, God is a people person. We cannot say, well, I'm not a people person. Because we are called to become like Jesus, who is the ultimate people person. I hear people say things like, I'm not a relator. Don't do those personality inventories where you take them. Lord help you. Bless you. Read the Bible. Come on this. I'm not a relator. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're a relator. Oh no, I'm an analyzer. That's me. That's probably what I was at whatever age. Yeah, I'm not. Jesus came to transform personality types into his image. Let me say that again. Whatever personality type you got, and I couldn't care less, he came to transform it into his image. So give it up and tear up that test result. Really? I don't do people. I don't do conversations with people. I'm a numbers guy. Lord, help us. God, help us. We're wise fools now. He came to restore extravagant relationality to the world. And we do our darndest to quench him. Let's get religious, or let's get psychological. This is the place of meeting. You know, that's why G.K. Chesterton could debate the greatest atheist minds of his day, and they loved him because he loved the unbelievers. He talked to them a lot. People that voted for somebody different than he did every time they had a vote. He loved them because he's like Jesus. We are being reformed, converted into his image here. And we are becoming disciples of his. So he calls us out of inertia. Inertia, basically, a body at rest, unable to move. I haven't moved toward another person in a long time. I see them every day, but I've never changed that relationship. I'm asking you today to become a conversational church. This church should be two or three times as many people in this room, but we're just not all that conversational. What are you doing? Why do you come here week after week? Why do we come with nobody with us? Come in the door with a bunch of people with you. Really. Let's become more conversational. Let's throw out more invitations. More invitations. Come and see. Tell people to come and see. He breaks down our inertia, our indifference. Move toward those people and move toward them in a way we haven't moved toward them. He calls us out of not loving his people. I want to say this morning that the most ungodly person in Dallas County, whoever they might be, that's never been to church in their whole life, is God's child. God's child. Now, there was a few of you that agreed with that. I'll just keep talking here. The parable of the prodigal son, the father is really, really happy when the boy in the hog pen comes home, stinking comes home. Why? Because his sperm created him. It's his kid. These are all his kids. Everybody on the planet's his kid. They're all his kids. No, they're not in good shape. They don't know who their father is. They're wasted, lost, confused. They kill each other. They're dangerous sometimes, blah, 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 just like us. But they're his kids. And the reason why the father loved him is, they're my kid. My kid's home. You know, you have a kid come home. There you go. We got somebody here that can talk to me. Man, I want to tell you. By the way, I'm teaching a class at a church on Wednesday night, and they wanted me to talk about end times, but I didn't know I would have to raise the dead every Wednesday night. And that class is not going well, because I am unable to do that. I can talk about end times. I cannot raise the dead every Wednesday night. I can maybe raise the dead every now and then, but not every Wednesday night. Okay, back to what I'm trying to say here. He calls us out of religious trivia. I tried to think of this. There's been a lot of trivia. Like the drummer's got purple hair. I'm not coming back. Now, we don't have any purple-headed drummer here today, but I've seen a few around. I've even seen some praise leaders with purple hair, and I thought they were really cool. I'm not coming back. You know what makes trivia trivia? It's when it stands right up against that which is not trivial. So when we're praising a holy God and we're talking about the hair color of the drummer, we have just trivialized the morning into nothingness. We should have all stayed in bed. They've got Trivial Pursuit on your phone. We should have stayed in bed. So let's don't, he's calling us out of pettiness, small-mindedness. He's calling us out of being scared of bad people. Somebody in the church years ago here in this church said that they'd been reading this book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. They were trying to understand that in their life. I said, I think you're on the wrong track. None of us here are good people. Books totally irrelevant to this church. There's not anybody good here, so throw it away. It was actually written by a person who does not believe Romans 1-3. I happen to know who wrote the book and know what they believe. So bad people. What's bad people? One of my person that's become a dear friend of mine in the last year is a man named Dale Orth, and right now Dale's in prison. I got a letter from Dale recently that said, Jim, one of the most powerful searching letters I've gotten, and I don't know when. I am learning to love very bad people. And I'm learning I'm one of them. And I have been for years and years. I thought, I'm in there with you, Dale. I'm in there. And what's happening is Jesus Christ is showing up in the jail. And I mean, there's more stuff going on in the kingdom in that prison in Huntsville. I'm going down there to check it out than there is outside in a lot of places. It's really strange what God does. But you get to thinking about all the places in the Bible where it talks about God working in prisons. A hunk of the Bible was written by people in prisons. He calls us out of being concerned of it being about me. Imagine America is attacked like it was in 1941 from both sides. And the Marine recruiter, you're thinking you want to go talk to the Marine recruiter about joining the armed forces and fight in the war. And the first thing you said was, you asked the Marine recruiter about how they were going to meet your needs. In the military, how are you going to meet my needs? I think he would scream at you and leave. We are at war. The church exists to equip people so they can go in the world and win at war. your shelter, food, drink, security, and significance needs have already been met. It's time to go to war. Yeah. That's it. And yet, consumerism eats us alive. So what I'm saying is that if I realize we're at war and I realize all God wants me to do, he's so powerful, he wants just to get me in a relationship with people out there, then I realize it's not about me, it's about them. And so that leads us to this. What does he want you to do? He wants you to invest in relationships that you do not now invest in. Relationships that have no utility. In other words, they're relationships that you won't get anything out of. You go beyond the utility of it. You invest, though, in those relationships. I've got, as you know, I've got 8 grandkids. I give them money every birthday or Christmas. There's 7 of them that spend it before sundown. They're all paupers. They all got nothing. They'd starve to death if it wasn't for their parents right now or their granddaddy and grandmother, except for one. And he invests. He invests. He's getting rich. He's in the market right now. He knows when it's going up and down. He actually invests. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't waste a relationship. Invest in it. Those are God's kids, whoever it might be. We had a conversation in our home churches, wonderful conversations, listening to people in my home church talk about this. Guys, Irvin Bishop over here talking about a guy he works out with, really interesting stuff. I mean, people are starving for relationships. They know they're going through the passages. They're wondering about, what does this mean? Where is the terminal I'm headed to? You know, what's happening here? Everybody's there. So we don't look at people like a Coke can. I don't keep Coke cans around in my house. After I finished drinking the Coke, I'd crash them. But that's not the way we're supposed to do people. So if we invest in people, we become like my one grandchild, rich in relationships. This church should be rich in conversational relationships with people in the world, because that's what Jesus does. And I'm not talking about people you don't know now. I'm talking about the ones you know now, because you know thousands of people in this room. There are thousands of relationships. They're in your neighborhoods. They're at your work. They're at your health spa. They're everywhere. You know, all I had to do was just say something to my postman, and he is telling me about his girlfriend that he's living with and blah, 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 and on and on. People want to talk. So let's enter in. Let's invest. We reconnect with the world with a new center. Before, the crowd that I'm connecting with in the world is a center. That's trouble. That will be evil companionship. I reconnect now as a disciple with a new, living, holy person in me who's caught me, cleaned me, and now sending me back. That's what he does, because he loves those people. But we got to be different to help those people. They're us. We reconnect, and we're under new ownership now. Our significance and security issues are firm. So we don't go there to hear a word that'll make our day. Our day has been made already. We're going there to share it. We enter into conversations. I want to say one thing in terms of your conversations with people in the world. At the very beginning, and I'm not going to say this harshly, but when you enter into a conversation, the first thing you need to do is shut up. Just remember this, shut up. Shut up. And that means ask a question. Get them to talk. And you ask the Lord to listen. And then keep asking. I guarantee you, you will hear stuff, you will enter in. It will be so cool because these are friendships. This is what makes the passages exciting, wonderful. Be quiet, listen, ask questions, ask lots of questions. Lots of questions. I had a person I asked questions to, and they told me their story. I said, I'm wanting to know your story. It was a refugee person come. And I said, well, wait a minute, I'm tracking with you all the way, and you haven't told me about the last 8 years of your life. And she started crying. She said, nobody wants to hear about the last 8 years of my life. And it was tragic, but when she started telling it, it bonded us and brought us together. And she was a part of us in this tragic sadness of her life, of a person who brought her to the United States, who trashed her. No one, she's never said it out loud. I just asked one more question, and man, she went off. And just keep on asking those questions. Let them know you care about them. You can do this anywhere. In those kinds of conversations is where we share life, we share Jesus. You're wondering, you haven't mentioned the four spiritual laws there or the five ways to become a Christian yet. No, I haven't, and I haven't talked about the four elements of the gospel yet either, and I'm not going to. At some point in this conversation, they don't really, in this culture now, they know the words of Jesus. They really don't want to hear it. But you know what they want? They want this. They want to experience the power and the presence of Jesus in their specific passage at this moment in time. And you have a shot at sharing the treasure in you with them at a moment in time that speaks to their passage. It's contextually relevant. It's not a parrot just saying, good news. Good news. You know, nobody's said bad. Nobody's told a story about bad news yet, but I'm saying good news. You're not doing the parrot thing without context. But you are actually ministering Jesus. This started happening Friday. I've been meeting with a guy forever, seems like. That's how much I love. About halfway through our lunch, he starts talking about the brokenness of his four marriages. And I mean, he went beyond just reciting it. He was confessing. And he has rejected Jesus' grace. He believes in God, but rejected Jesus. He's got a terrible, terrible wounds, he thinks, with the church. He goes off on the church. He has so much anger. He blows out the windshield most weeks. But he is so vulnerable right now to the gospel. And the next time I'm with him, I'm gonna ask some questions. I think the coolest thing in the world would be around and hear Ivan come to Jesus. He was like Michelle last week. He got turned off 40 years ago and he hadn't been around. But I have to listen. He doesn't trust us. But you know, he doesn't trust Christians, but he wants to hang out with Christians. So it's such ambivalent, such love-hate thing. I encourage you to have parties, to have joyful times, to allow people to see the joy and the laughter in you, and for people to ask you, like, you know, since life is really hard and since we're headed to Terminal D, why are you so joyful? Where's the joy coming from? And then prayers. I think you can pray with people faster than you can study the Bible with them by far in this age. This is a time, that's just the age of, it's the age of spirituality, but they're scared of the book because the book is, they got all these bad stuff with the book. And I'll tell you a story I know about some folks who were praying for these people and talking to these people about becoming Christians, and this happened for 10 to 15 years in their neighborhood. And they were rejected, and they were very nice, and they kept this relationship going. They had this relationship going and going and going, and it was, but man, they got, no, we don't want that. We don't want that Christianity, and just and yet one day, and they went from being about 27 to 40, and they knocked on the door one day, and they said, "Can we come in?" "Yeah, we'd like for you to pray for us." "Really? Why?" "We cannot get pregnant. We don't know what to do." See, life brings you to Jesus. Passages. The passages, the relationship with God is designed for the passages, and the passages long for the relationships. What happened in that, I don't know whether those people got pregnant or not. The person that told the story did not tell that, but he did say that they both became disciples of Jesus. At a moment after rejecting it, but somehow it opened up in conversations, and when this time came and they asked simply for this prayer, but it came with their time of bumping up against the fact that life was not turning out the way they dreamed it would. That's right, it isn't and it won't. The glorious passages that lead out there to just a happy, happy life, perfect, doesn't exist. That train isn't gonna get there. And so they came to Jesus through that passage. People are going to come and just want living displays of truth. They want somebody who can talk and will talk back and forth. This morning, I'm just calling you to enter into those conversations. Enter into those conversations. Reclaim all those friends that you disconnected with at some point. Reclaim them. Reclaim them. Add people to your life. That's what Jesus did. That's what he's doing now. Let's do that. Enter in. God is present in you. The treasure is in you, and he wants you in relationship. Let me tell you, this morning I'm talking about the most important. I don't know if I can talk about something any more than this, because I think Satan's number one ploy in stopping the influence of the gospel is to get Christians out of relationship with the world and to separate the world, where all we do is scream at each other through the media. World church, church world, world church, church world. We're just screaming at each other back and forth, back and forth. But nobody's in conversations and in relationships with each other. And so the gospel can't possibly be shared, because Jesus wants to walk, he wants bridges, he wants people. And my key reason for believing I'm right about this is Jesus Christ the Lord and the four gospels. That guy is in conversational relationship with everybody in town. He is stirring up the world. The world is being changed by Jesus. How? Conversations. It was the Sermon on the Mount thing is spoken out to Christians. The conversations are just out there changing the world, bringing people in. So this morning, do y'all have some folks that you could be in conversation with, in relationship with, that you're not now? Investing, becoming richer in relationship. I want to pray about this. Would y'all stand up, please? And let me just pray over you, and then there may be other needs. I remember thinking about 10 or 15 years ago, we were trying to, this church, to be more out there inviting people in and touching, and thinking, if this church isn't going to respond, I think I should quit doing what I do here. I should go somewhere else. I was thinking about that the other day. I obviously didn't go. But it really troubles me, because I just sense that, God, this is a, God's presence is here. And I think that some people in the past have told you this is really complicated. People keep talking to me about how I need to have a script memorized before I start getting into these relationships. You don't. Just go begin hanging out with peace people and move them from being a business associate to a friend. This is my associate, whatever that is. No. All these associates become your friends. And you don't love them until they reject the gospel. You commit to loving them forever because they're God's kids. And you become richer. And they get in relationship with somebody in whom Jesus lives. And along the way, miracle happens. They'll knock on your door and say something like, we've hit a dead end. We can't get pregnant. Can you pray? We don't even believe in prayer. But we don't want anything else. See, this is where a lot of people, they have to try everything else out. Will you be their friend while they're trying everything else out? Yeah. Yep. So let's pray about this so that he changes us. We don't want to, I got recycled trash around my house. We don't want to recycle the same issues in this church where we have these recycle bins. We need new bins. We need new issues here. God wants to reach out through you conversationally, quietly, like thirsty Jesus at a well talking to a lady nobody's ever talked to. Lady, I got living water. You think it feels good to get a drink today? I got something for you. I got something for you. Do you think he enjoyed doing that? I think he did. Yeah. So, Lord, this morning, just help us. Help me to keep on shutting up, asking questions, praying for, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Except love this person. Help me love. Help us love, Lord. Help us love. My heart, it shrinks. I got heart problems. Help us, Lord. We got people in this room that think they're not relators. We got deluded people here. We got all sorts of stuff here, Lord. Help us. Recreate us in the image of our friend, our dear, dear friend, who wants us to become friends with his world that he died for. But he never compromised with sin. But he loved us. God, help us to be like him. May this church be like Jesus. Give us many, many conversations and new relationships with people we already know. We already know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just thank you, Lord, that this morning we can be here in Jesus' name. That we got Jesus to live for. That we're not just going to Terminal D. the completion of our life is in process. We are doing the same journey Bob and Betty are doing. Randy's done and is doing. And all the saints before us. Help us, Lord. Help us. Get us in relationships, listening, where we can just hand some of the treasure to somebody at a moment in need. So help us, Lord. I'm excited about what you're going to do through this church. In many, many ways we interact. Just thank you, Lord, for the blessing we have. God, you're not here to beat us up with guilt, but you are here to redirect us, Lord, and help us. So help us to do that. We thank you, Lord. Come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here at the end here, and if you're not a visitor, we have prayer at the front. So would anybody that would like to pray for somebody, would you come to the front? And then we just want you to be able to come and pray for somebody. The elders, anybody else that's here, would you come just be at the front? Anybody that would like to be prayed for, you come. Lord, I pray that you be with this church now as we go out into the world, as people are prayed for, that we are your ministers, we're ambassadors of friendship this week. We come to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And amen.